Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence this morning. Thank you for your grace over our lives. Thank you for your love, your compassion, your understanding. We have a high priest in heaven who understands everything we go through. And Lord, you intercede for us. You don't judge us. You don't point the finger. You intercede for us. It's impossible to be telling someone off and interceding for them at the same time. So we know, Lord, if you're one or the other, you're a Savior, you're not an accuser. We thank you for that. Thank you that we have a God of mercy. And we love you for it, Lord. And your children have enjoyed playing this morning in your presence. Thank you, Father, for the few thoughts I have this morning to share with your children. We ask your blessing on the word as we come to this part of the service. Friends said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Say, I'm a good student. I'm attentive. And I know how to receive the word. My heart is good ground. All right. Yes, very good. I had a girl in school last week. She said to me, "Sir, can you tell us one of your inspirational stories?" And I says, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, last year you told us one of your inspirational stories, and it really made me feel better, and I need to hear another one." And I said, "What story was that?" And she couldn't remember exactly, but whatever it was a low-stream class, a real problem class, and one of the things I've discovered is that if you put your spirit out over the class, if you're talking to them, you know, if they're paying attention and you're encouraging them, that your spirit actually quietens them down. So I found one of the best forms of classroom control is to give them a little inspirational preaching message, which they really appreciate. And but it just reminded me, you know, Bill Johnson said that the people who give the most hope will have the most influence. And if you can give kids hope, you'll influence them more than anybody else. And I'm just a relief teacher. I said to the principal the other day as I was passing him in the staff room, I said, "Hey, mate, you know all those incredible scores that Avondale College pupils are getting in the external exams?" Because Avondale College is doing really well on the external exam. Cambridge and overseas. We were top in the world for physics, top in New Zealand for about three different subjects and so on. I said, "You know all these great marks all these kids are getting?" I said, "It's because of your relievers, mate. It's because of the relievers." And he just and he just laughed. Anyway, Pam talked about coins in fishes' mouths. You know, we have to pay for the personal part of the trip that we're going on while we're overseas. So, you know, I dared to believe God. I said, "As a reliever, is it possible for me to have full-time work as a reliever? Because they only call you up when someone's sick." And, you know, I've almost been full-time since school started this year. And one of the other relievers said to me, "Oh, you're Kay's favorite." And I didn't deny that because, you know, the Bible says that Jesus increased in favor with God and man. Now, you have to do your bit. Like, if I was a useless teacher, I wouldn't be getting favor from man. But some of the different departments, when someone's sick, they specifically request me to be the relief teacher for them. So, you know, if you do your job well, then God can open doors, but those doors won't stay open if you don't do something to keep them open. If you're not, you know, diligent and hardworking and, you know, conscientious and so on. But, you know, God has really blessed us. So I got a whole, I know already that next week I'm at school all week. So, Boy, it's hard work, isn't it? Getting up in the morning and coming home and doing what you have to do and then go to bed and get up again the next morning and go to work again and come home and do what you have to do, the dishes, do the cooking or put out the trash or whatever it is, and you go to bed and you get up the next morning and you do the same thing all over again. I'm not suggesting that pastors don't work hard, because we do, but we're on flexi time, so, you know, we have a little more say in how we run our day. But, you know, your Sundays are precious. I respect that, especially if you're working 6 days a week. You work your Saturdays as well. And so we, generally speaking, don't have an evening service. Anyway, this is a great morning for me to address this, because I had no way of knowing, but when we started the service this morning, there are only two people here. Beverly and Joy. Was it Joy? Beverly and... No. Beverly and Alex. God bless you. Honour to whom honour is due. I know you were here, Joy. You're probably taking care of the library table or something. Oh, was that what it was? Is Beverly's birthday? Beverly, that's fantastic. You're not supposed to ask a lady how old they are, but you don't look a day past 20. You look amazing to me. Okay, now, I had, at the men's prayer meeting, we had a great prayer meeting. If you're a bloke, this is one of the times we get together and just spend some real quality time together praying for our personal needs, needs of the church, and then we go away and have a Macca's. And it's a great time together. Something always comes up, which really impresses me. But one of the things that came out of that prayer meeting was we're under a lot of pressure today. The king of Tyre in the Old Testament was the king of pressure. That's what the Hebrew of Tyre means. And we've got to watch that the devil doesn't put more pressure on us than we need. You know, if the boss asks you to do more than you're supposed to be doing, ask him what else he wants you to drop, because you're already doing what you can do to the max. Dobson says, don't take on an extra responsibility more than you can bear. But anyway, one of the things we prayed about, John says, you know, what can we do to get people to church on time? He says, doesn't it bother anybody else that people just drift in, you know? Sometimes people don't get here till half past 10. And I says, well, I will always start church on time, because I like to honor the people who come on time. And the visitors are always on time. Thank you, visitors. It's great to have you with us. Now, I don't want to dump guilt on anybody, because in the old days, we just used to make people feel guilty, you know, and that worked, because people, they respond to that kind of thing. But this is a grace church now, so I don't have guilt in my toolbox anymore. So I can't dump that one on people. But I have noticed that since we've been preaching grace, and I love grace, we just love people when they show up, whether they come on time or not. And there's always a reason why some people, you know, sometimes you have genuine reasons why you come late. And some people have, you know, particular life issues, and it means they can't make it. And I just genuinely, like with my musicians, come late in the old days, it used to really tick me off, and I'd be in a bad mood, and it would wreck my whole worship service, because I had a bad attitude, a bad spirit. But I just love people now when they come late. So when they come, I just, it's great to see you, how you're doing. And, you know, genuinely, I'm just grateful that people come, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, we always need a buffer group, a satellite group, because we had one guy show up one year, and he said, oh, I don't think I could ever be part of this church. I says, why is that? He says, because everybody's so committed. There's this nucleus, and everybody's so onto it and committed. You know, I don't think I could be part of a church that's like that. And then I realized, you know, church is for everybody. And some people can't come every Sunday. Some people only want to come to church once every 2 weeks. Some people only want to come once a month. And if you're going to have a church that's for everybody, then you need to make room for those people. So you've got to be accepting of that. And some people just can't get their act together, and they'll never come to church on time. And that's all right. You just got to love those people and say, well, this church is for you too. Even if you can never make it on time, we still love you, and this is still a church for you. So you can come late and still be a member of our church. So there you go. Make everybody feel better. Have we got rid of the guilt thing? Because I hate guilt. Absolutely hate it. But, you know, and I've noticed that people have started to come late to church because I'm not cracking the whip anymore. I've lost my main motivator. Where is your commitment? What's the matter with you? You know, where's your sense of loyalty? Can't you? You know, Jesus rose from the dead, but you can't even get out of bed, you know. And we've all been in churches where they do that. And everybody goes home feeling guilty, and it works for a week, you know. Next week, everybody's on time, but it's not long, and everybody's back to being slack. And so I thought I'd address the issue this morning, because I really feel the Holy Spirit wants me to do that. Because John mentioned it in the prayer meeting. And I said, well, John, you know, I've worked through all that. And, you know, I love people now, whether they come on time or not. And that's just the way it is. And it doesn't worry me anymore. And then the Holy Spirit challenged me on that and says, really? Really? Doesn't worry you anymore? Well, it worries me. And I want you to address the issue. Because the church isn't yours. It's mine. And I care about people. I care about what we're building. So I had a little talk to God. And he says, you know, what happens when a kid comes to class late? What do you do? You say, oh, that's all right, Johnny, come on and find your seat. We're halfway through the lesson. That's all right. You can come late. Well, if you do that, then they're not going to take their subject seriously. They're going to miss half the lesson. And they might be a good kid, but there'll be one or two other scallywags there who think, oh, gee, it doesn't matter if I come late to class. And well, then they're off smoking pot down the back of the field while everybody else is in school. You know? And so we have these, for want of a better word, rules for a reason. And I've been figuring out, you know, what do we do? Do we just throw away rules now? Do we throw away expectations that we have of one another because we're living under grace now? And the Lord showed me that actually grace can only exist in the context of law. There's no such thing as grace without law. You first have law. You say, this is the law. You break the law. This is what happens to you. Grace is forgiveness. But you have to have something to forgive. So like, I have kids at school, and I write on the board, no food, no earpieces, no jackets. And I tell them, I don't make the rules. My kids all listen to music when I was homeschooling them, and they said they could concentrate better. So I think, why not let the kids listen to their music while they're studying? But the school rule is, no, you don't listen to music. So I'm not here to, you know, do what I want. I'm here to enforce the school rules. So kids, don't listen to your earpieces. If you listen to your earpieces, here's what happens. I take it off you, and I keep it for the period or the day. You've got to find me and get it back again. And they think, like most teachers, that it's just a lot of hot air. But I tell them I mean what I say. If you listen, I will take it off you. And there will always be some kid who does exactly what you told them not to do. That's human nature. So you take it off them. Then at the end of the period, I say, now, I'm going to keep this for the whole day. You don't break laws, you break yourself against laws. Now you see, was it worth it? You're not going to have this for a whole day now. You didn't break the school rule, you broke yourself against the school rule. You've disadvantaged yourself. And then I give it back to them and I say, now what's that called? That's called mercy. That's called undeserved favor. I should keep this for a whole day, but I'm not going to. I'm going to show you mercy, and I'll give it back to you. But you see, that act of grace, of undeserved favor, could not exist without a context of law, which says, you do this, and you'll suffer the consequences. So I'm really enjoying being at school and learning things about what it means to be a person of grace in a context of law and rules. But anyway, a kid arrives late to class. The first thing I say to him is, where's your late pass? Where's your late pass?
Mr. Smith, he kept us late in for Zed, and, you know, it wasn't my fault. I said, well, you go back to Mr. Smith and tell him you're late for my class and you get a late pass, because you don't come to my class late without a pass.
Now, we train these kids like this. Why? Because it's important, because we know they're not going to get ahead in life if they show up to work late. They are not going to get ahead. They are not going to be a success in life. So if we really care about these kids, good teachers will follow it up. They won't just let them get away with stuff like that. We're raising them to a standard of excellence because we want what's good for them. Now, my question to you is, you've all had that training. You've all had that. You all went to school. And if you showed up late for class, the teacher demanded of you a late pass. And if they didn't, you thought the teacher was slack. And we're in danger right now of you thinking that I am slack. But I'm not. I love grace, and I'm showing grace, but we're not slack. And surely our business is more important than any other business on earth. And if there is one person we need to be on time for, it's the person who died on a cross at the right time. God sent the just to die for the unjust. Aren't you glad Jesus came on time for you and I? So I thought I'd just look very quickly, and I'm not going to have time to get my message out again today because I'm addressing this instead. Why is coming on time important? I can't appeal to guilt anymore or commitment. Where's your sense of commitment? I have to appeal to something else. So I'm appealing to our honor for God and our realization that each one of you is a significant member of the team that we have here this morning. See, when you come late, you're saying, whether I come on time or not is not important. That's what you're saying. Which tells me that your concept of yourself is that you are a spectator and not a participant. See, it doesn't matter if you show up to a rugby match late because you're not on the field. You're up in the stands watching. And you can come to a rugby match late or a cricket match late, and it doesn't matter because you're just a spectator. So when people come late to a meeting, it tells me that they perceive of themselves as being a spectator. Because if you were a participant, you'd be on time. Because we can't move ahead without you. Like if you're in a rugby team and let's say a soccer match, and the goalie hasn't showed up yet. So no, we can't start because they'll kick the ball straight into the goalpost, and we haven't got our goalie here. We've got to wait for the goalie. Oh, well, no, look, you'll have to do the goalie's role. Oh, yeah, but I'm the winger. Well, someone else can do the winger's job. It's more important we have a goalie. Yeah, but then I've got to be a winger, and I've got to be the whatever else is in the team, you know. I can't be in two places on the field at once. Well, too bad, you know. Well, let's just wait a few more minutes. We've got 100,000 people watching the match, but let's just wait until the goalie shows. That doesn't work. Come on, we know that doesn't work. It's ridiculous. But for some reason, and you all show up for work on time, because, you know, you get the sack if you didn't show up on time, because you're a participant and the boss needs you to start work on time. So it just comes down to our perspective. Are we participants or are we actively involved? And let me share a little bit more about that. I'm not just talking about being on the roster. I'm talking about your role in helping us find this place of God's presence as a family, as a team. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. There will always be times when we come late. There will always be times. But when it's a habit, something's missing in our thinking. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together on time, as is the habit of some. Assembling of yourselves together. In other words, there's a sense where when we come together, we are creating something that God responds to with His presence. But you know when you have a family meeting and not everybody's there, it's like, well, you know, we've got to wait for Johnny to show up because there's some really important things we need to say, and we can't start without Johnny. When we've been apart for a whole week, we're not together. And when we come together like this, it's great at the beginning of the meeting when you rub shoulders and you say hi to somebody. You just start to feel like you're together and you're part of the family. Often I find the worship is best after we've had a little bit of a break and everybody's just said hello to everybody before the service, you know, because there's a sense of unity there. And where there's that sense of unity, God commands the blessing. It's really hard to create that sense of unity when people come in dribs and drabs. And I usually like to have some "We're Together Again" kind of songs first, like "Rejoice," and "Again I Say Rejoice." Well, most of you didn't even know we had that song this morning. And then we had another one, "Rise Up on Wings of Praise," one of my songs. And I can appreciate you not necessarily wanting to be here to sing one of my songs, but I think it's an all right sort of a song. And I feel really ticked off when people don't come to listen to my songs. I wondered about whether singing that song this morning. See, let me share with you my problem. I wondered about singing that song that early this morning because I know our services are long, but you know, we could cut them shorter if we could get to that place of intimacy in God's presence a whole lot quicker. You know, and if we didn't have to have a warm-up song for the warm-up before the warm-up before the warm-up song, and then finally everybody's here, and so now we can start the service. So I thought, no, blow it. I want to rise up on wings of praise. I want to find that place in God's presence. Second song, one warm-up song. One gathering song for all two people who were here. I'm serious. We had two people here and we gathered the two of us together and we sang that first song. A few more people started to show up and then we did Rise Up on Wings of Praise. But what I wanted to do was like gather us together and go together as a family, as a team, and find that place in God's presence. But it was so hard to do because people were still arriving in church by the time we got to the end of that song when we were, you know, the plane has left the tarmac by this stage. And you're still checking in your luggage. And you want us to land again so we can pick you up. And I'm forever taken off and landing and taken off and landing and taken off and landing. Well, it's laugh or cry. You know when you first meet somebody, it's like, you know, you haven't seen your girlfriend for a week, okay? So you give her a big embrace and a smack on the face and a big kiss and there's this real incredible intimacy going on. It's like even if you know the person really well, that is too much. It's like, no, sit down, have a hug, have a cup of coffee, talk about your week, get romantic, put your arm around them, and you get more and more intimate as time goes on, don't you? You don't just go straight into this place of real close intimacy. It's just awkward. Well, worship is like that. And you've got to have one or two warm-up songs before you really, you know, tell Jesus how much you love him. And some of you are walking into the service and we're right in the middle of that place of deep intimacy. Oh, we love you. We just want to, you know, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And it's like, I don't even feel like I'm part of the show yet. Because you haven't had the warm-up songs. And so it's uncomfortable for you and it's uncomfortable for us. You know, you're part of a very intimate conversation we're having with the Lord and you're still taking your boots off and taking your jacket off and finding your seat and feeling, you know, it's like, we just need to do it together and we need to We need your participation. You're a team player. This is the field of play right here. This is not a spectator sport. Worship is what you do, and we lead you in it. But it's very hard to lead a team that's not on the field of play. So I'm not telling anybody off. I'm just saying, you know, and every once in a while I think I'll address this issue because some people aren't here this morning and everybody needs to hear this. I think we need to be reminded that we are actually valuable team players in the worship service and that you have a contribution to make. Whether you think you can sing well or not, it's not the point. It's not the same without you. But I refuse to start a service 5 past 10, 10 past 10, 10:15, 10:30, because we did that in Hawaii. We understand island time. But we ended up starting the service at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock in the morning, and people still came half an hour late. Well, that's ridiculous. So we went back to 8 o'clock again. Part of the problem is we just... I used to be the person who was always late, so I understand. And I'll tell you how you know if you're late. Because there's this feeling on the way to whatever it is, whether it's work, whether it's church, or whatever, you're rushing. There's this feeling of being unsettled. You're panicking. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling condemned. And you're feeling, oh, something gets in your road. No. And I realized that every time I go to work on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, whatever morning it is, I'm late. And I know I'm late because I'm rushing. I thought, why am I doing this? Why don't I just leave 1/4 hour earlier? It takes me 12 minutes to get home from Avondale to Massey. It takes me 1 hour to get there in the mornings. It takes me 1/2 hour sometimes just to get on the motorway, 1 kilometer from my home. And I'm sitting there and I know I'm late and I've got to call the office and say, look, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find a reliever for the reliever because the reliever is late. Well, this is just ridiculous. So I made a decision to leave home 1/4 hour earlier. I'm in the traffic. And I'm at rest. And I know it's a big build-up, might be an accident, but it's okay. I've got myself a buffer here. And I just enjoy it. And I'm just worshiping God. And I think, gee, this is a strange feeling. I'm not rushing. I'm not panicking inside. Because I know I've left early enough to get there on time. Now, evaluate your own situation. When you're coming to church in the morning, have you just had an argument with your wife? Have you kicked the kids in the rear end to get them into the car on time? You know, is there this panic thing? We just have not allowed ourselves enough time. It's that simple. It's just an organizational thing. Just give yourself another 1/4 hour to get to church. Actually, church starts at 9 o'clock. And we've allowed a buffer zone from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. People come to the prayer meeting at different times and participate. But if you planned on getting to the prayer meeting at 9, you would surely be here at 10 o'clock. But the buffer zone is 9 to 10, not 10 to 11. I know this doesn't seem much like a sermon this morning, but it actually is a great principle that will help us in life. I said to Pam said to me this morning, honey, what time are we leaving? And I said, 7:45. We normally leave like 7:55 or 8 o'clock at the latest to get here by 7:15, which is when I've told my setup team and the musicians to be here at 7:15. And my thinking was, no, I want to be here before John, because John is always the first one here. And I'm the leader. Take note, sir. I am the leader. Nobody gets here before me. So I thought, it only takes me 20 minutes to get here, but I'll leave at 2:15 so that I get here at 10 past before John. So I got here, actually got here at 5 past, and John was already here. And I was going to have a word to Terry about being a bit on the tardy side, and he was here dot on quarter. In fact, I think he was early too. He was here before quarter past. And I thought, Lord, you sure you want me to address this issue this morning? It doesn't seem like the right morning to be talking about coming late. Everybody's doing pretty well. But I wasn't to know, was I, that we were going to start the service with two people. So the Holy Ghost knows, and he loves us. But, you know, he's a good teacher. They said to Jesus, good teacher, tell us what we must do to inherit eternal life. And he went on to say, you know, with men this is impossible, you know, it's by grace, it's not by works. But under grace culture, it doesn't mean that things like coming on time are not important. It is important. These things still matter under a grace culture. And a good teacher will still tell you what you need to do in a grace culture. Does that sound reasonable? Because I care about this show, and I want us to go together. I don't want to take off without leaving someone behind. You matter to me, and your contribution is important. I value you. I'm saying, listen, your contribution is important to me. I need you to be. I need your voice. We need to do this together. And just one other thought. That was the together thing. I'm appealing to honor and the realization that you are a significant member of the team. Okay, so you are a significant member of the team. That's number one. Point number two, and I'll do this very quickly, it's simply a question of honor. And I had this the other day. I realized I was cutting it too fine. I was coming on time. The bell goes at 8:55. No, sorry, 8:50. And that's the bell which says, kids, get to class. And then the second bell goes 8:55, which says, kids, you should be in class, you should be seated, and the teacher is now going to address you and tell you what you need to do for the day in your homeroom. Okay, first bell, second bell. So my thinking is, as long as I'm at school in time for that first bell, then I can just get to class in time for the second bell, I'm on time. And then I was talking to another relief teacher. I said, what time do you get here? And he says, I aim to get here by about 20 past 8. I said, but the bell, first bell doesn't go till 8:50, and like that's half an hour before the first bell. And he said, oh, to me it just seemed the right thing to do. And I thought, yeah, you're right. It is the right thing to do, is to come early. And, you know, he went up in my estimation. I thought, here is a man of honor. He is showing more honor to the principal, to the school, and to the whole concept of education than I am. I'm showing dishonor to my principal and my school by thinking that just being there right on bell time is good enough, because I've made it for the first bell. And I thought, well, that's actually not very honoring, is it? And that jerked the slack out of me, and I thought, strike. And so right then I decided, okay, I'm going to wind the clock back a quarter of an hour. So now I aim to be there by at least half past eight, which gives me 20 minutes to go over my notes, ask any questions, be prepared, get to the class before the kids. Get the door unlocked, you know. It's just a question of honor, and I'm appealing to your sense of honor. I know next week if Pam's going to preach her message, is going to talk about. Not yet. You don't want me to share that. Okay. Well, a lot of it has to do with vision and our concept of why we do what we do, you know, and why is it important, you know, what is it that we're doing when we're gathering together in His name to worship Him. And it's just a lack of understanding, I think, that we have with regard to what it is we're gathering together for and in whose name we are gathering. And it's my fault that I have not taught that to the point where there is a response in you that gets us all here on time. So if there's any guilt, I'm wearing the guilt. I'm not laying it on you. I'm laying it on myself. But I'm trying to find my way out of that paper bag right now. And I'm thinking, okay, why is it? And I think possibly it's because we've embraced grace and we love grace so much. We're all just, we can breathe. We can come to church and breathe. And I don't ever want to lose that because I need that. I just feel so much love for myself from people. And, you know, I've been able to love myself. I've been able to accept myself. And if I'm late for something, I accept my failure and I love myself. But it's when it's a habit, something's wrong. It's when it's a habit that we need to look at it and say, okay, why? What's wrong with our thinking? Because it all starts here. What's going on in my thinking that this is always my lifestyle? And do I want to be like this? Because everything about you says something about you. So there you go. That has been my message for the day. I still have a message to preach from 2 weeks ago. And I just sort of threw that together this morning. And I guess it's good that that's all we addressed this morning, because I think it's important enough for us to go away thinking, well, what did we get from the service this morning? Apart from an incredible worship time, we just had addressed an issue that I think is important enough for God to say, Ray, I want you to talk about this because it's important to me. Jesus said he would build his church. And I want to be part of something that Jesus is doing. If it's important enough for Jesus to do it, I want to be part of it. Yeah? So what is it that he's building? And does he need you to help him build? Are we co-laborers with him? Or are we spectators? Are we spectators? Or are we on the field of play? And do we want to show him honor and one another honor? Or don't we care? Of course you care. We just haven't really thought about it. And we haven't had the issue addressed. Well, we have now. And I'm going to follow this up, because I think it's something we need to address on a regular basis to remind one another why we do what we do. Father, we want to thank you. It's such an awesome privilege to be in your presence. And Father, we do want to be good pupils. We do want to sit at your feet and learn of you. We do want to come to class on time, because you're worthy. You're worthy of the respect and honor that we just show every other earthly master as a matter of due course. But for some reason, we don't think you're worthy of what they are worthy of. Our time. Lord, we repent this morning. We just change our mind. We just have a change of thought, a change of attitude. Everyone said, amen.